السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه ومن استن بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. صدق الله العظيم. All praise, all thanks is only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who yet again has given us this beautiful opportunity of gathering in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this Mubarak occasion of Jumu'ah. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allows us to see many, many more days of Jumu'ah with afiyat. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allows us to appreciate this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. And we also make dua to Allah ta'ala that He allows our last day of this earthly life to be this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. For the purposes of this talk, Jumu'ah talk, I wish to discuss one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this hadith serves as a protective mechanism, serves as some security measure to help and protect us on this journey that we are going. You'll find that today our cars that help us on a journey on the road, they have so many security, protective, safety measures in place. For example, they'll have seat belts, person will have indicators, there'll be airbags, there'll be anti-lock braking systems, there'll be anti-skid controls, lane assist, and the different safety measures that are there in a car just to take a person on a road travel. And you look at air travel, recently we heard of a plane crash, but in an aeroplane, if you go to look and study, and you'll see how many different safety measures are there on the aircraft to ensure that you have a safe flight, to ensure that that flight is a safe flight. But that's still within the realm of this world. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this hadith which I'm going to discuss, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us a security measure, a safety measure, a protective measure that will not help us only on a land journey or a sea journey or a air journey. It will help us on this journey from dunya right until akhirat. Will help us in this journey from dunya right into Jannah. So long as we adopt the safety measures, this protective measures shown to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in fact this hadith, Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullah alayhi, from approximately 500,000 ahadith, he selected 4,800 for his kitab, famous kitab Abu Dawud Sharif. And from there he mentions there are four ahadith, that are sufficient for a person of intelligence and insight. In other words, to help him navigate, to help him move in this world, and to help him get across safely from this world into akhirat, the person of insight, four are sufficient for this person. So one of these ahadith is this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I'll explain it as it appears in the different variations of hadith, that al-halalu bayyinu wal-haramu bayyin. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is explaining that halal is very clear. Halal is very, very clear, and haram is very, very clear. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam is showing us the two extremes. The one extreme is that of halal being extremely clear, and the other is haram being extremely clear. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks about that area that is a gray area, that area that is not clear. In other words, between these two extremes, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, وَبَيْنَهُمَا مُشْتَبِهَاتْ لَا يَعْلَمُهُنَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ. And between these two clear areas, you'll get a doubtful area. So let's come back first to the clear area. Let's start with that halal. Those things that are very, very clear to us, just so we can understand this glass of water that I got in front of me. Is there any doubt that this is halal? Does anybody have any doubt? There's no doubt. So this is an example of something that is clearly halal. A person may be flying on an aeroplane, and there is some food that is served there to him. Now he's not sure whether that food is halal, whether that food is haram. Now that, what would you call something that is unclear, that falls in a doubtful area. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us, when you got something that is clearly halal, you got something that is clearly haram, what you're supposed to do, and when you got something that falls in this middle area, this grey area, this doubtful area, what you're supposed to do. On the other hand, if I got this wine, Allah Ta'ala protect us and save us, everyone he knows that this wine is haram, this pork, we know this pork is haram, that is clear, there's no doubt. So those two things we know, which is very clear. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is teaching us now that in life you will be faced with these scenarios. You will have things that are very, very clear to you as far as halal is concerned. There will be things that are very, very clear to you as far as haram is concerned. But there's a danger area. And this danger area is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam is highlighting to us and warning us and showing us that you want to bring in these safety measures, you want to bring in the security controls, these protective mechanisms in your life, then understand what you should be doing when you got this danger area, this grey area. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam describes it, وَبَيْنَهُمَا مُشْتَبِهَاتِ. They are conflicting, either conflicting views, or there's conflicting information that are coming in as far as that item is concerned, as far as that deal is concerned, just to understand for our understanding purposes. There may be stock that has come in, and this stock may be grey stock. We're not sure, is it halal, is it haram, what type of stock is it, should I keep it? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is guiding us, and he's telling us that a person adopts this policy. What policy? فَمَنِ اتَّقَ الشُّبُهَاتِ اسْتَبْرَأَ لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْضِهِ. That person who stays away from this middle area, this grey area. One is that haram, he's staying away. There's no doubt that haram, a person stays away. But this middle area that this person is staying away, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, if he has this policy, this protective mechanism that he brings in his life, اِسْتَبْرَأَ لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْضِهِ, this person will protect his respect and he'll protect his deen. What a beautiful protective mechanism. We want to protect our houses, we want to protect our cars, we want to protect our money, we want to protect our gold and silver. But do we ever think that we want to protect our deen? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us a recipe to protect our deen. That this is the way you protect your deen, is that you stay away from this middle area. There was a great tabi' by the name of Hassan ibn Abi Sinan, rahmatullah alayh. Imam Bukhari, rahmatullah alayh, quotes him in his Kitab al-Buyu' that he discusses, or he explains, that مَا رَأَيْتُ شَيْئًا أَهْوَنَ مِنَ الْوَرْعِ دَعْ مَا يُرِيبُكْ إِلَى مَا لَا يُرِيبُكْ. He said, I haven't found an easier way. I haven't found an easier route to getting piety. I haven't found an easier route to getting the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which one of us doesn't want to reach piety? It's our desire and our wish. And it should be our ambition of life that we want to be from those that are muttaqeen, those that fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those of the people of taqwa. So he's saying, I haven't seen an easier route. And this is like a shortcut for each one of us, for me and you. The shortcut. What is the shortcut? دَعْ مَا يُرِيبُكْ إِلَى مَا لَا يُرِيبُكْ. Leave out those things where there is doubt for those things where there is no doubt. Now let's take some examples, from some practical examples. Because this doubt is something, especially in this time and age that we are living in, more and more and more doubt is created. More and more doubt comes in because of the variation of products, because the variation of marketing, and because sometimes aggressive marketing also, and also our aggressive desire for the dunya, our aggressive desire for this world. So therefore we are exposed to more and more doubtful things. Before we come to this, one ayat of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ. That destruction, woe be to those that shortchange, that curtail as far as their dealings are concerned. This word tatfif, actually, is not only restricted to a person's dealings. Tatfif means to curtail, to shortchange. In other words, to cut short from what a person should be doing. On one occasion, this riwayat is mentioned in Muwatta Imam Malik. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi mentioned that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, he seen one person that he was reading his ruku and his sajda, and he was going very quick in it. In other words, he was not performing his ruku, he was not performing his sajda correctly. So he told him, لَقَدْ تَفَّفْتَ, that you had made tatfif, you had cut short, you had cheated as far as your ruku is concerned and as far as your sajda is concerned. Why? Because this tatfif extends into a very broad area. Now this tatfif, to understand, So based on this, Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh, he brought one principle, one usul. He says, لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَفَاءٌ وَتَطْفِيفٌ. In everything there is full due, there is full measure, and in everything there is short measure. In every single thing, just to get an idea and an understanding, and sometimes many of us are guilty of it and we don't even realize it, that we are in this grey area, so to speak, and we are doing things that are wrong, we are shortchanging and we don't even realize it. So Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi explains this. So just to get an understanding, what ulama explain, that this cheating goes as far as a person's business dealings also is concerned, as far as a person's ibadat is concerned. Sometimes he's making wudu, sometimes a person is making ghusl, sometimes a person is performing salah and he's shortchanging as in the manner in which he's doing it. A person is hired, for example, in a business, is hired to work from 8 to 5. But what he does, the boss is not looking, the boss is only coming at 10 o'clock. So what he does, he comes in at 8:30, he comes in at 9:15, sometimes he comes in at 8:10. He thinks nothing of those 10 minutes. That 10 minutes is actually shortchanging and he's cheating as far as this is concerned. And what Allah Ta'ala is saying, الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ. Person that is shortchanging, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining as far as measure and weight is concerned, because that is what generally is used in terms of exchange. So what happens when a person is taking, in other words, when he's there for him to receive payment, then he wants full payment. But when it's time for him to deliver, when it's time for him to give what he's due to give, then what he does is he shortchanges. A famous example, I give one example, what of time as far as labor is concerned. Another one, I may be an accountant, you may be an attorney, or a person may be an engineer, maybe an advocate, or a person may be an architect. Now what he says, he may agree a rate with a client. The rate is 1,000 rand per hour, I will charge you. Now I may only spend 2 hours or 3 hours on that job, I'm giving an example. But what I'll do is I'll make it 4 hours, or I'll say 5 hours. I'll cheat that person and I'll charge him more. I'm taking full, but in terms of my delivery, I'm not delivering. So this Allah Ta'ala is warning. وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ أَلَا يَظُنُّ أُولَٰئِكَ أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ. Do they not know that a day will come when they will be resurrected? That a day will come when we will have to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِيَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ. A very, very big day. It's not a small day. يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. When people will have to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we will have to answer for every single thing. One of the first muftis of Darul Uloom Deoband was Mufti Azizur Rahman Uthmani, rahmatullah alayh. Very pious person. One day he was performing the Fajr Salah and he was reading this ayat from Surah Wattariq, that يَوْمَ تُبَلَ السَّرَائِرِ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ وَلَا نَاصِرٍ. That on that day, on the day of Qiyamah, such a big day it will be, that on that day every secret will be exposed. Every fine details of every secret will be exposed. Allah Ta'ala will expose it. It will be made known. فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ وَلَا نَاصِرٍ. And in this world, either one of two things. A person can defend himself because of the strength, because of the financial power, because of the financial muscle that I have, because of the context that I have, because of the power I have, I can defend my position, I can defend myself. Allah Ta'ala, He says, فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ. There will be no power for you on that day to defend yourself. Wala nasir, you will have no assistance also to defend yourself. Those contacts that you had, that advocate, that attorney, that support structure that you had, that security company that you had, those friends that you had, those gangsters that you knew and used to threaten people with, you will have nothing on that day. So he was performing salah and he was reading this ayat, يَوْمَ تُبْلَ السَّرَائِرِ, and he broke down and he was crying profusely. These pious people, Allah Ta'ala would make it such that they also always wanted to be in the clear. We're speaking about this hadith that is encouraging us to stay in the clear, not to go into any doubt, not to have any doubt as far as our business dealings are concerned, not to have any doubt as far as our mind is concerned, not to have any doubt as far as our relationships is concerned with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this pious person, Mufti Aziz al-Rahman, one night after Isha Salah, he was lying down and he was pondering over one ayat of the Quran Sharif. وَلَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. That there isn't for any person except what he makes an effort for. In other words, whatever a person makes an effort for, that is what he will earn, that is what he will receive. So he was pondering and he was thinking about this ayat. Now, just for a short while, let us reflect before we go to sleep. What do we think of? Most of the time it's that customer that I need to deliver, that business deal that I need to do. I can't miss out on this investment. I can't miss out on that investment. Look at these pious people. Before going to sleep, they're pondering over one ayat of the Quran Sharif. Allah Ta'ala make it such that our thoughts also become the thoughts of deen. Before we sleep, we're also thinking about akhirat. Before we sleep, we're also thinking about maut. Before we sleep, we're also thinking about the time that we're going to spend in the qabr. So anyway, he started thinking about this ayat. وَأَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. And something started troubling him. He said that this ayat is saying that there isn't for any person except what effort he makes, what he makes an effort for. But we know there's something known as إِصَالُ الثَّوَابِ. What we in our loose speech, we say إِصَالِ الثَّوَابِ. That after a person passes away, the people read and they send sawab for him. Sometimes a well is made, a masjid, a person donates money towards a masjid, towards a project, and he makes niyat for a certain deceased. That person is getting rewarded for it. But this ayat is saying only what he's making effort for, he will get the reward. It seems as though there's some contradiction. So this started troubling him. He couldn't understand how to reconcile between the two. So he said to himself, what if I die tonight? And if I die tonight, I will die in such a condition that I got a doubt in one ayat of the Quran. I can't go to sleep having a doubt in the ayat of the Quran. So he wakes up from his bed at night. It was in Deoband. At night, there was no public transport. There was no taxis. There was no rickshaws. It was dark. But he said, I cannot sleep in this condition. He takes a walk from Deoband to Gangoh. And he reaches Gangoh at the time of Tahajjud. Imagine walking that part of the night. And when he reaches Gangoh, Hazrat Mulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali was just about making the wudu for Tahajjud Salat. So he sees Mufti Azizur Rahman and he gets a surprise. He says, what brings you here? He said, Hazrat, this one ayat is troubling me and I did not want that I must pass away in such a condition that I doubt this ayat. What will happen to me on the day of Qiyamah that I am passing away in a condition that I'm not clear about one ayat of the Quran Sharif? So then he asks Mulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi that please explain to me this ayat. وَأَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. So Mulana Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali tells him, what is meant by sa'aya is sa'ya imani. That one person's iman won't benefit another person. For example, if I got iman and my son doesn't have iman, Allah Ta'ala protect. But just as an example, my iman won't assist my son. Or if my brother got iman and I don't have iman, my brother's iman won't assist me. So he says, this is what is meant. At that occasion, Mufti Azizur Rahman says, now I am content, and he goes back to the Umad. Why? There can be no doubt. There must be no doubt. So what I'm explaining, as far as our deen and as far as our transactions are concerned, there should be no doubt. We should always be staying in the clear. Well, now coming back to doubtful items, you're speaking about this, وَبَيْنَهُمَا مُشْتَبِهَاتِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a beautiful example. كَالرَّاعِ يَرْعَى حَوْلَ الْحِمَى. He gives an example of a shepherd that's got his flock around the royal pastures. Now, we know that in those days, the kings, they would have a certain ground that was specific for the animals, for the royal animals, for those animals to graze. It was forbidden for anybody else to bring their animals and graze in that area. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving an example. Ala inna himallahi maharimuhu, that the royal pasture, the royal area, so to speak, the no-go zone for a normal shepherd to take his animals is that royal pasture of the kings. But the royal pasture, the royal no-go zone of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those things that Allah ta'ala has made haram. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that if this shepherd takes his sheep in that grey area, so to speak, near those things that are forbidden, near those things that are haram, yushiku ay yuqi'a fi, that very soon, very very soon, that these animals will go and they will fall in, or they will now start grazing. These animals will now start grazing in that no-go zone, in those royal pastures. Like that, yushiku ay yuqi'a fi, a person that is doing business, the person that is transacting, the person that is staying in grey areas, very, very soon, this person is going to fall in haram. فمن وقع في الشبهات وقع في الحرام. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sounding out, that person that is in the grey area, in the doubtful areas, very very soon this person will end up in haram. Now let's take some examples. One of the things we explain is a person doesn't know, he doesn't understand. So therefore a person falls into doubtful items. Another thing that creates doubt is when there are conflicting views. When there are conflicting views on something, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is now telling us what we should do. Stay in the clear. This is something that we should do. I explained Hassan ibn Abi Sinan, rahmatullah alayhi, he says, da' ma yuribuk ila ma la yuribuk. Leave out those things where there is doubt for those things that there is no doubt. So let's take one example. Person is not sure. Somebody is saying take out insurance. Somebody else is saying don't take out insurance. Somebody is saying invest in the banks. Another person is saying that these are institutes of riba. Keep your money pure. Keep your money clean. Don't even put your money in there to take returns. One is we're using the banks out of necessity. Whatever capital we're putting in there, that's the capital we take back. We're not taking any returns. So now there's a doubt. One person is saying put, one person is saying don't put. What is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, فَمَنِ اتَّقَ الشُّبُهَاتِ. That person that stays away from those doubtful things, اِسْتَبْرَأَ لِدِينِهِ وَعِرْضِهِ. That person will protect his deen and protect his respect. Somebody is saying we can do photography. Someone is saying we mustn't do photography. The ulama of the past all told us don't get involved in photography. Don't get involved in television. Stay far away from there. Someone is saying it's okay for men and women to intermingle. Others are saying it's not there. We shouldn't intermingle. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing us an easy solution. We don't have to apply too much of our brains. فَمَنِ اتَّقَ الشُّبُهَاتِ. Shubuhat is created because of conflicting views. Simple thing you do. Stay out. When in doubt, stay out. It is halal. You won't go wrong by going into halal. Stay in the halal. This is your protective mechanism. If you are going to go in the doubtful areas, you're going to fall into haram. A person is selling toilet rolls. Another example. Simple example. So now a person is selling toilet rolls. It says 2-ply, 500 sheets. Now what he does, nobody knows. It's okay, the market is going like this. We are all selling like this. If I make 400 sheets and we're selling it as 500 sheets, what difference does it make? This now is cheating. This falls under that what we spoke about, tatfif. A person is cheating as far as his business deal is concerned. Like that we can apply our mind in so many other things in our business. And don't ever think that if we are going to be honest in our business, we are going to lose. There's one person he mentioned to me, and like that there are many incidents, my time is almost expired. One person mentioned to me that in my business I look to see what items are doubtful. And sometimes he sees outwardly it would seem that I was losing. He was a wholesaler, and he says a rep would come to me and he would tell me that like all other good, this is the words that he would use, that all other good buyers, all other good personnel, what they would do is they would give the rep something on the side. That we're touching, you were giving you a gift. So the rep, he had a certain level of tolerance in terms of giving discounts. Or he would motivate for a very high discount. And he says this would work out very well. We would give the rep something on the side, like a gift. In other words, it was a bribe, so that he could motivate. And he says we would save a lot of money like that. I decided I'm cutting this also out of my business. So anything doubtful. Very often we walk into a supermarket, a man has got a supermarket. And he thinks now everyone near the cashier has got magazines with all pictures of ladies, pictures of men. And now all that halal business that a person has got, he's polluting it, he's diluting it with this doubtful income that he's getting, with this income that is not pure by the sale of these magazines. Why? Just because we think it to be a business norm, but we are spoiling our income. Like that, that money that we're investing in the banks, whether it's called Islamic bank or whatever, Islamic banking or whatever, we are diluting that halal money by taking money from riba institutes. So anyway, this person said, I cut out all the haram from my business. He says, within a short period of time, my business grew tenfold. And I can vouch for it, because we see the figures, that business did grow tenfold. So when a person cuts out haram, Allah will give a person barakat. When he cuts out doubtful things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give a person halal. Our pious predecessors were so, so careful of this. It's mentioned in Irshad al-Salikin about Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, that on one occasion, he heard that they were stolen, a flock of stolen goats was being sold in the marketplace in Kufa. So this troubled him. Now Kufa was a buzzing place at that time.
There were thousands of goats being sold. So what was the chance of him purchasing a goat that was stolen? It was very, very minute. But he did not want to get into anything doubtful. So what he said, he found out from the farmers there, that what is the average lifespan of a goat? So he was told the average lifespan of a goat is 7 years. For 7 years he did not eat goat meat. Why? I do not want my system to take in anything that is doubtful. On one occasion, he had seen at the river bank, there was what we call a 4G. 4G is a government official, government worker. And government workers, even in our time, in our country, we see that there's a lot of corruption that takes place with government workers. They're always on the take for something. So there was one government worker there. So this government worker was eating a piece of meat and he threw it into the river. As Mufti Ahmad Khanpuri, rahmatullah alayhi, damat barakatuhum, he mentions this incident. So he says that Hazrat Imam Sahib, he did not eat fish from that river for a very, very long period of time. And the reason being, he did not want even that meat that the fish may eat from this government official that threw it in there to affect his system. Allah Ta'ala forgive us and Allah Ta'ala protect us. Ask ourselves how careful we are about not bringing doubtful things into our lives, about saving ourselves from doubt. If we save ourselves from doubt, automatically we'll draw the rahmat, we'll draw the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll just terminate on one incident. There was a pious person. He also mentions this incident of a pious person. He says that this pious person, that one night he was writing a letter and he was staying in a rented house. And this rented house was a kachagar. Kachagar means that the walls were built of unbaked brick. So because that wall was built of unbaked brick, if you just would scratch, there was no plaster there, there was no paint. If you just scratch the walls, the sand would come off the walls from that brick that was unbaked. So what they would do in those days, they would write with a pen that they would dip into ink, a piece of wood they would write, they dip it into ink and they would write onto a page. But to dry the page, they would sprinkle sand on it, so that sand will absorb the excess ink that's on the page and will cause that page to dry up quicker. So he had written one letter at night and he thought to himself, this person, he was renting that house, he thought to himself, he was a pious person, he thought to himself, where am I going to go outside now and get sand to sprinkle on this letter? Let me just scratch some sand off the wall of this house that I am renting. So he scratched the sand of that house that he was renting and he sprinkled it on that letter. And what they would do after that is after a while they would just blow that sand off. Either dust it off or blow it off, and by then that ink would be dry. So he went to sleep in this condition. And that night he had a dream that kal kayamat ka din poocha jayega, that on the day of Qiyamah you're going to be answerable for this, that you are renting someone else's house and you scratch the sand of the wall of that house. Even for this you will have to be answerable for. See how careful we have to be when it comes to halal, when it comes to haram, and when it comes to doubtful items. My time has expired. Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of bringing this beauty in our life, bringing this in our life. When we bring this refinement in our life, remember, then it becomes very easy. These are small things in a small micro level. Then even at a macro level, if a person has to be the trustee of a trust, he has to be the executor of an estate, a director of a company, he's handling money of the public, investments of the public running into hundreds of millions. A person will be much, much more careful if he is careful of these simple things. Then we won't hear of investments just crashing, the public all losing, the public losing trust and faith in their own Muslim brothers. All this will be far-fetched when a Muslim brings honesty into his life, he brings transparency in his life, he brings clarity into his life, he realizes what is halal is halal, what is haram, anything doubtful I keep myself safe from, I keep myself away from this. When we have this practice in life, we will be trusted, we will become and be known to be honest, people will trust us, people will have faith in us, and after all, يَوْمَ يَنْفَعُ الصَّادِقِينَ الصِّدْقُمْ. A day will come when the honesty of the honest person will come to his avail, will come to his benefit. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. We can bring this honesty in our life, we can bring this transparency in our life, we kick out and we throw out from our lives anything that is doubtful, we stay on the straight path. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا عَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.